Hello, I am Katrina Collier, and as part of my mission to inspire all the people that recruit people to treat people better, I bring you the Hiring Partner Perspective Unedited podcast. Here, you will hear from those hiring leaders who create true partnerships with recruiters, HR, and talent acquisition because they know that it delivers a better result for the business and a better human experience. May this podcast inspire other hiring leaders to create better partnerships with their recruiters and HR. And may it inspire recruiters to create true and valuable partnerships with their hiring leaders. Because people make businesses succeed and people matter. So let us begin. Girish Jain, Josh Goldstein, welcome to the Hiring Partner Perspective podcast, proudly supported by the wonderful people at WorkDrive. Thank you so much for joining me. You, of course, have been thrown in the deep end by the wonderful Ed Han, who's here but not here. He's like lurking in the background, which I find quite amusing. Thank you, though, for coming on and sharing with us why you're such amazing hiring managers and hiring leaders. And so, well, we start with you, Girish. Can you give us a bit of a background and what your career is to date and how what you do now? Spill the beans.
Yeah, thank you, first of all, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I manage
the IT quality assurance organization for Sandler.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I came to this company about 4 years ago and I built the organization. And I couldn't have built it without working with our wonderful recruitment team, you know, so that's what I've been doing. You know, we expanded quite a bit in the last 1 year and we're continuing to grow.
And what did you do before that, before the company?
So before this company, I worked for, you know, a couple of healthcare companies. You know, one of the large ones was Cigna Healthcare. I've been doing similar work in different domains for about almost 30 years now.
Yeah.
You know, I worked in various industries in telecommunications and in financial as well as healthcare.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. And how about you, Josh? Tell us a bit about your background.
First off, Katrina, thanks again for having me. And I guess thanks our absent friend, Ed, for giving me up to join. I've been with Sandler for about 3.5 years now. I lead our team that's focused on improving the experience of our customers, which is primarily the borrowers who we serve on behalf of our clients. So that means various efforts focused on improving the customer experience and how they interact with us through our various channels. And then in turn, reducing the reasons why they may have heartburn and may need to reach out to us about their mortgage, which of course helps us from an efficiency standpoint internally. Prior to joining Sandler, I worked for a number of years at Citibank. Earlier in my career, I kind of had two phases of my career. The first phase was in a completely separate industry focused on marketing and advertising.
Ah, so what made you change careers then?
So I was always intrigued by financial services and, when I was previously in the marketing and advertising space, I was on the agency side, at times kind of serving to the clients who hired us, and always had the desire to get kind of further upstream in terms of the business strategy and decision-making process. So wanted to make that transition over to the client side, so to speak, with the financial services space being one that I had assembled some experience in and have always had an interest in.
So out of interest, which one's been more satisfying then from a job perspective? That's a cheeky little question I didn't warn you about, but
it is tricky. So the way that I have thought about it is when I worked in the prior space, I was able to do a lot of really cool stuff that at the time, and of course I was much younger in my career, was really fun and sexy to tell my friends and family about. And I enjoyed it as well. But in terms of the challenge and the sort of the level of sophistication in terms of what I've had the opportunity to focus on, I get more of that these days.
Yeah, makes sense. The other one's tough old industry, isn't it? Very cutthroat.
So, Girish, I think you just were saying, I can't remember if this was on air or before we came on, that you've had like extensive growth in the last 12 months.
Right.
Which must be really quite amazing.
Yes.
How's that been? What's it been like trying to recruit in this crazy pandemic?
It's been challenging to say the least, our company, first of all, was not used to working remotely. I personally am, from my past background in other companies, but this company is a little different. And then hiring people through that time where, you bring new talent and you never meet them was definitely a daunting task. Mm. And I think we worked through that, we got used to it and, we made, the learning curve easier. Eventually by, gaining the experience of doing so.
Yeah.
But, obviously.
What did you learn yourself? Like you personally, what did you learn as you started having to, see these little squares on the screen and recruiting on the basis? Did you?
Yeah. So I would say personally what I learned, I am a person who wants to draw on the whiteboard in my office.
Yeah.
And that is something I always miss from both my hands, okay, I can draw a picture and explain to you, this is what we really are working on. This is what we need from you. And that was the, learning for that I had. How do I express myself, by, either video calls or audio calls, and explain, what our objectives are and how do we make you the most, efficient in what we're trying to do and successful in our company, because if anyone who joins as a new hire, they want to be successful. They want to prove in the first 3 months that they are the right fit.
Yeah.
And as a manager, you have a big responsibility to make that happen for people.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Did you try any of the online whiteboards like Mural or Miro or?
Actually, I did not. I thought about certain things like that, but I sometimes felt really, really, missing those things. But that's a great suggestion.
Should
still consider that.
See if you can draw on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I use them for a lot of my workshops. I love them. They're really cool.
Yeah.
So how about you, Josh? How have you found the hiring over this crazy pandemic? Was it a big adjustment?
So I think similar to what Girish was sharing, it has been an adjustment. I think beyond hiring, just interacting with folks in general, right? So I always think that there's kind of a hierarchy of how we communicate with people, and the best is always in person, face to face, and then maybe it goes to video, and then over the phone, and now we're all probably 90% or more email or instant message, right? Which is which is the worst of all the options, but it's all what we kind of all resort to. In terms of the hiring, though, I've actually, it's actually been pretty good. I've been really surprised by, how much we can accomplish remotely, by video, by phone, and whether that's hiring or going to meetings in person. And, to think that we used to fly people around the country for a 30-minute interview, and now we can hire people, and I've similar to today. I've had issues where my video didn't even work, and I maybe did a video chat before extending an offer just to see somebody face to face and for them to just have that same opportunity to connect.
Yeah.
But I think we've learned a lot in terms of how much we can actually get done remotely by phone and by video, where all this in-person stuff is going to, at some point we'll get back to it, right? But I just can't imagine we're going to go back to the same level for the same reasons we were in the past.
Agreed. I think there'll be far fewer in-person. Because that, like you said, flying people in for a short meeting when this is almost as good, not quite. So makes sense. So obviously the hiring partner perspective, my aim with the podcast is to get recruiters and hiring managers to partner better, because for some reason there seems to be like a lot of what I call collaboration chaos and not great communication. And of course that hasn't been helped by the pandemic because, everyone's working in silos. But beautiful Ed Han, bless him. mentioned you both and gave various different reasons for it. So if I start with you, Girish, he said here that you're a fantastic partner and you've gone so fast as to help, so far, I should say, as to help him source candidates. Does he bribe you with pizza when you do that, or who you just sit so, down and work with him to find people?
So wonderful of Ed to say that. You know, I say the same thing about Ed. You know, he has been a great partner, you know, period. You know, I think open communication and expressing, you know, likes or dislikes, you know, of the choices we have. Timely review and feedback. I think one thing that probably what Ed might have liked about me was I was very prompt in giving a feedback on candidates.
Yes.
And
that doesn't surprise me because you were early to this podcast. I like came in a few minutes early and you're all here. I was like, whoa, it was brilliant. So thank you. I'm not surprised. So if we just continue on, just tell me why you think that you know, it's worth partnering and why you do that and what's the benefit to you?
Yeah, so I think it definitely is beneficial to me because if I am forthright in looking and giving my feedback early, we are not going to waste time in the candidates that we don't think are going to work out.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, I find those niche skills that really matter. You know, I think one thing that, you know, also I provided was, you know, a 6-month outlook of my organization. You know, I gave a heads up. Okay, I'm looking to hire these type of resources down the road because new projects are popping up. So that way, you know, you don't let a candidate pass by, you know, because that might be a fit in the next couple of months. And similarly, you know, I used to look around myself, you know, wherever, whether it's LinkedIn or other places and give Ed a heads up, okay, you know, this might be a great candidate to go to. So I think that is how we built a trust and partnership with each other. And for me, you know, it was like finding the people, you know, that fit our organization better, you know, and help Ed to help me.
So I have to ask then, why is it that you can see what's coming up and so many hiring managers cannot? Like, what are you doing differently?
It is like I keep an eye on the upcoming projects, right? Yeah. So the reason we expanded, like I said earlier, was because there's a lot of new work that happened over the last couple of years, you know, as we grew as a company and new initiatives, new programs were on the horizon. And as we are providing proposals, you know, I see where the growth may be and what type of skills would we need. So that is what like I kind of kept as part of our, you know, regular communication and connects.
Right. It's very impressive. Very impressive. So what does he say about you, Josh, if I remember here? Oh, now you always want to be involved in the offer. When the offer is extended to the candidate, Josh, which I think is so incredibly important, particularly in this market. I'm hearing quite a lot of horror stories of people having multiple offers. So what makes you get so involved there?
So I think it's really, to me, it's all about the beginning of a longer term relationship.
Yeah.
And as Ed and I have talked about with him being my partner on from a recruiting standpoint, his role is critical, but it's kind of short-lived, right? So to the extent that we make the right offer and the candidate accepts, that's a continuation of the relationship that I'm building with the candidate and that they're building with me and with the organization. So I just think that, and it's such a critical, critical conversation and obviously the most important part is what's the offer and what's the money, right?
Yeah.
But the context that I presented in and helping the candidate appreciate in some cases the work that went into it. You know, so we worked really hard, we're really excited and, you know, took this further than I would have under other circumstances, etc. I think that's really important. Not only to deliver, because certainly recruiting could deliver that message, but for them to hear that from who will hopefully be their future manager, I just think is an opportunity to get off on the right foot.
It must also really help with counter offers. Like, I'm hearing horror stories of people getting offered double their salary from their current employer and all kind of crazy stuff. But if you're making that offer, then you can immediately tackle some of that, can't you? Because you know exactly how they're going to grow in the role. Have you had anybody have a counter offer that you've been able to tackle, or you've been lucky?
Not recently, but the other thing that I try to do, which Ed is very helpful with as well, is understand where they're at ahead of time, right? So the offer shouldn't necessarily be a surprise. And if we really want them, you know, if they ask for X and we really want them, can we give a little bit more just to sweeten it and give them both the financial benefit, but then also the perceived benefit or the flattery, you know, which can also help in that situation. So to me, it's a two-way street, right? I think as the hiring man, at least for me, whether I'm the hiring manager or under other circumstances, when I've been the candidate, I always feel like I'm at the disadvantage, right? Yeah. So there's this perception that the hiring manager holds all the power. Well, talent is hard to find, right? So if you find somebody you like, you need to land that person and not mess around. So that kind of goes into my thought process as well.
How did you come to that realization? That sounds like a really weird thing to say, but I'm hearing a lot of horror stories that hiring managers just do not understand what this market's like. I mean, I suppose it's unexpected. You think that the pandemic created a lot of opportunities for companies to hire, but it seems to have done the opposite. And it's not that many people around. So
I don't think about it necessarily as a side effect of the pandemic. I think the pandemic just causes us to be over phone versus in person. I've always kind of had that approach, and I think to your question, I realized that not so much as a hiring manager, but more so as a manager, and even prior to being manager, just as a colleague. It's hard to find people who you really love to work with, right? So when you think you found one, you gotta reel them in, right?
Grab them, grab them.
I have this whole side metaphor where I think it's pretty much just like dating, which I won't go into, but I just think you know what you want, and you want to put yourself in a position to succeed.
Yeah. I truly think it is. We particularly recruiters, we have to woo from the beginning as soon as we come out and start finding people. So I from what you guys are saying and from how you behave as hiring managers, this is a really special partnership that you have, which I don't see that often and I would love to see more of. Had you previously experienced recruiters like Ed, or what is it about him that perhaps would inspire other recruiters to create the partnerships that he has with you? Maybe Girish, if you go first.
Yes, absolutely. I think his availability, his ability to communicate back at, you know, literally at any time of the day. You know, I know I've had late evening conversations with him, you know, and that's been wonderful. I think we were able to communicate very effectively that way, and he understands. You know, he has the background. From technology perspective. So he actually can understand what my needs are, you know, from the requirements of the jobs. So I think that's what made him a wonderful partner in recruitment there. And as I said earlier, you know, like explaining to him my pipeline, you know, that way, you know, sometimes he would channel some candidates. So this may be a good fit for something you're looking, you know, next month. That definitely made Ed, you know, very helpful. You know, one thing I want to say on the topic we were talking before, you know, like retaining the candidates, you know, even after you hire them is also a challenge. Sometimes people fish around, you know, they try for a couple of months, they just move on. So we had a couple of those incidents, but thankfully not a whole lot. We also had a couple of last minute slips, you know, like when we were about to make an offer and then, you know, we find, okay, no, they moved on. So, you know, definitely an interesting time, you know, you know, good that there are so many opportunities out there, but, you know, that's where, you know, it becomes more tough for people like Ed, you know, that, you know, we just worked on a candidate for 3 months and now we have to start all over.
Yeah.
So I think that I will highly appreciate, you know, in any recruiter, you know, what Ed did for us.
Yeah. But it sounds like that you have such a trusting bond between the two of you, well, the three of you, really, that that you, I'm sure if Ed came running up to you and said, you must talk to this person now, you would probably drop everything as well. Right. Like, it sounds like you've built that level of trust. And what about you, Josh? Like, what qualities in Ed would you want up to see in more recruiters, like to inspire them to be better at this job? I was going to say malarkey then, but don't know that that translates. Ed, by the way, who is not currently on that with no audio, is laughing his head off.
So I think, and it's maybe similar to what you and Ed have observed in terms of how I approach things. So I try to go above and beyond and put myself in the shoes of the recruiter and assist from that standpoint. And Grish as well, in terms of him helping to source resumes and so forth.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Ed and really for that matter, any other strong recruiting partner does, is they really try to put themselves in the shoes of the hiring manager and understand the role and understand the role, the team that the role fits within, and the style of the hiring manager to really be the best filter, if you will, that they can be in that process. And by doing that and by investing that time in the very beginning, we're sort of automatically aligned, right, in terms of what comes through.
Yeah.
And I would say, so that certainly exists in the partnership that I've had with Ed, has existed with other recruiters in the past, but I've also seen the opposite, where the recruiters are just kind of a source of resumes, right? And I've had instances, for better or for worse, where I say, you know what, just send me every resume you get, because I want to review them, because we're not getting what we need, right? And that really minimizes the role and the value add of the recruiter. Whereas with Ed, I'm looking at the short list that he's already worked through, which not only makes my role that much easier, but it gets us to the same result anyway, right? I look at the three or four resumes versus the 15 or 20, and that's what makes for the good partnership.
It sounds like you're prepared to give the recruiter the time up front, and but also that Ed is expecting it. And that's, I spend a lot of time coaching recruiters to please demand that time up front. Like, don't let the hiring manager not give you that time, because like you said, you save so much time.
That's right. Absolutely. Garbage in, garbage out. So let's take 20 minutes up front, and the next X number of weeks of this recruiting process is going to be that much more effective.
Absolutely. And if they get to know your team and all those sorts of stuff, it will all help. So were there any final things that you thought, oh, I really want to say that when I come on this podcast, just to share, to inspire other hiring leaders or recruiters, that either of you wanted to add?
I think one thing I would say is, you know, as part of the being a hiring manager and as a recruiter as well, it is very important to sell the good things about the company that they're looking to come to work in.
Yeah.
So it obviously is a two-way street, right? We want to judge the skills of the potential candidate, but selling, you know, the work environment, the good things about it, the growth opportunities are very, very critical, you know, to attract good talent. And when I talk, you know, to a candidate, believe me, like after working for 30 plus years, I look at the resume, I can tell, you know, the skill sets of the person, the way the resume has been written, right? So I really don't get into the technical discussion. I, you know, try to understand the work ethics of the person, and then tell all the good things about the company, and then hear a reaction from the person, and that will tell me whether that person is going to be a good fit or not. That is something what I've used effectively, you know, in recruiting lately.
Yeah. Oh, I do love hearing that. It's so important. It's funny how, like, particularly in tech, my whole background's tech recruitment. So how few hiring managers think to do that. It's like, it's so competitive. It's crazy. And what about you, Josh? Were there any final thoughts you wanted to share?
I think I would just reiterate or summarize part of what we've touched on here, and it's not to blow smoke, but it truly is a partnership, and it has to be a partnership if it's going to work, right? Which is why, you know, the few of us are in this discussion, because I think that's what we've all benefited from. And I could say this for the business or the hiring manager and recruiting or other functions as well. It's not a hierarchy where the recruiters are here just to serve us, right?
Nope.
We've got to be vested, and through the partnership, we're going to get the best outcome in terms of the efficiency and of the process, and then the quality, and hopefully the sustainability of the talent that comes through.
Yeah.
To think that we can just outsource this to recruiting and add people to our team that are right. I mean, it's just not the case.
Yeah. I was just cheering. Hands now, are going up.
All that being
nobody
said,
nobody could see that on the audio.
I could still happily blame recruiting if it doesn't work out. But
oh, of course,
we haven't had to do that yet.
Yet. Oh, of course, that's fine. No, I mean, that's just so inspiring to hear, and I just think the three of you are just a case study on this works. Like, just, you know, get on and do it. If anybody wants to connect with you, are you happy for them to send you a LinkedIn connect? And if they've got any questions or want to know more, are you both happy with that?
I'm good with that, yes.
Yeah, fantastic. And Josh, absolutely. Are you? Yeah, brilliant. I shall pop your details in the blurb that goes out. But thank you both. I feel very inspired by everything that you shared. And it just reiterates to me the importance. So thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Hiring Partner Perspective Unedited podcast, proudly supported by the people at WorkDrive. Hopefully you really enjoyed what you heard and have left feeling inspired. And if so, I would love your help to create real change. Please pass this podcast on to your hiring leaders and other recruiters and HR. Even share it on your social channels if you feel so inclined. But the more reach we can get, the more change we can create. So please remember to subscribe, of course, on your favorite podcast platform, and do come and say hello at Hiring Partner Perspective on Instagram, where I share behind the scenes of what's going on. Until next time, thank you.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.